Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. If you've been following along, I've been sharing about spiritual mentors. 1 Corinthians 15, you heard it at Mass. I handed on to you what first of all I myself have received. It's that principle of tradition. And in our Catholic faith, you'll see that many of the greatest saints and doctors of the church, those who rise to levels of greatness and big impact, are those who received from others, who had great leaders, great mentors in their lives. And so today I'm going to talk for the final time about Father Mark Noonan. And I have an announcement, a surprising one, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. I'll be back.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and I thank you and praise you for the spiritual fathers, for the spiritual mentors, for those who have forged in us an understanding of the Catholic faith, of how to see on the basis of that faith, how to relate to others, and to the things that are important in our lives through our Catholic faith, and then how to live well the lives that is ours to live. So, Lord, we just thank you for them. And, Lord, we ask blessings to be poured upon them for those who are still living, that you would pour great graces upon them and gratitude, Lord, for the blessings that they have been in our lives. And for those that have died, those who have gone before us in faith, we pray for the repose of their souls. We pray, Lord, for a quick and complete purification, for their salvation, and for their entry into eternal life. Lord, we thank you for these spiritual fathers, for these mentors, for these spiritual mothers, for those whom you have given to us to pour into us so that we can be and to live the life that we've been privileged to live today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that will help you grow in the spiritual life, almost more than anything else, is having great spiritual teachers, mentors, directors, those who invest in helping you to understand and live the faith well. I am reflecting at this age and stage in my life on 4 great spiritual mentors. Father Mark Noonan is the first of the 4 that I am reflecting on. And I've already shared 3 programs about the insights that he has passed on to me, insights that are not just standard things that you'll read about in a book or hear at a talk on a conference or a retreat. These are things that he lived so profoundly and was able to speak about so naturally and easily that it had a way of helping to have those truths sink into my life, into my heart, and impact how I've lived my life. And so I've been sharing with you a number of these insights. Well, something happened over the weekend. On Sunday, I got a text message, and it was a bit of a shocker. My intention was, after I had finished these programs, to give Father Mark Noonan a call. He's in a retirement home for priests is where he was living. For priests in the Archdiocese of Boston. He's 93 years old. And I thought, you know, I would give him a call and say, hey, Father Noonan, you know, he knows what I mean to him, but I want to share these programs if you want to care to listen to them. And I got a text message on Sunday from a priest friend of mine in Boston who said, hey, I'm not sure if you've heard, but Father Mark Noonan died on Sunday. And so that was a bit of a shock. It wasn't that he was sick. It wasn't that he was in hospice. It wasn't that this was somehow expected because of a health fragility or condition that he was facing. And so I still haven't heard the cause of his death. The priest who had reached out to me said, I was just with him a few weeks ago and he was fine. So it's very poignant to me. And it's sort of powerful for me that I was sharing about these things, and in the moment that the Lord would then take him home. And sort of the mystery of it all is that in this last program, I'm going to share about a bit about the whole, I mentioned this theme already, this philosophy of life. And one of the things that he taught as a philosopher, and again, a priest and spiritual director at St. John's Seminary for his priesthood, is that in the great Western tradition of philosophy, going all the way back to Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, is that life is preparation for death. Life is, in a certain sense, training for death. And that's a very Platonic idea, and it also can have a Christian meaning, that life is training for death because life on earth is not home. We were born from nothing by the Lord our God, the Creator God, to live our lives here on earth, but on the way. We're not home. This is not home. We're on our way to our heavenly home, and the only way to get to that heavenly home is going through the door of death. And that is connected to the fundamental act of our lives of faith, which is the act of faith, which has to do with surrendering, with entrusting, with putting oneself into the hands of God. And if you can see the connecting points that I just made here, that life is training for death, life is preparation for death, then death isn't an act of petering out into nothing. Death can be the culminating act of how I live my life every day. Okay, how is that possible? That dying, which seems to be all about ending the act of living, is somehow a culminating expression and a completion of that expression of how I'm living? How is that possible? Well, if every day I wake up and I say, Lord, thank you for the gift of faith by which I know you to be my loving Father, and I trust you, Father, that you have a providential care, you're providentially shepherding me through my day, and I trust you. And I entrust my day to you, and I entrust all that I am and all that I have into your hands. I freely, completely, and forever entrust myself into your hands. That's the act of faith in its most complete form. I entrust myself into the hands of my Father, who is this provident God who's going to care for me in the unfolding events of my day. Now, that's my daily action. That's my everyday action. And that's the daily action of a follower of Christ, is that Jesus is saying, come follow me. Follow me. Follow me to your heavenly home. I will lead the way. I will show you the way. I am the way. You know, seek his face. We seek the face of God. And as we walk this path and the trials and the darkness and through the dark valleys, We fear no evil because we're trusting God, and we've entrusted ourselves into the hands of God as he shepherds us through this dark valley. Well, if that's the everyday experience of a believer in Christ, what's death? Death is the act of dying. The act of dying becomes not a passive thing that I just suffer, I rebel against and try to avoid. No, but the act of death, the act of dying is the final, full, complete, and forever entrustment of myself into the hands of my loving Father. Do you see that? In death, what am I doing? I really am. I really, really am fully giving myself over to God in that act of dying. Life, the acts of everyday life, is training and preparation for dying. Life is preparation for death. And so death still has a sting, right? St. Paul, so death, where's your sting? There's still that sting of death, but that makes us fear There's that the anti sense of trust, the anti sentiment of trust is losing a sense of control, feeling stuck, feeling that there's this inevitability that is something that I would be afraid of, versus, no, I'm running into the hands of my Father. I trust you. I entrust myself to you. You who created me, you who redeemed me, you who have loved me, you who have shepherded me. I trust myself to you. Now, these are truths that Father Noonan taught to me. And he taught them to me through his understanding of surrender and receptivity. Okay, surrender and receptivity. If you listen to the last program, I said it quite quickly, but one of the profound truths that Father Noonan taught to me was around the act of surrender and abandonment, right? If faith is the act of giving oneself over to the Lord freely, completely, and forever, I'm putting myself in your hands. I'm surrendering to you. Listen to the language. I surrender to you all that I am and all that I have. Father Noonan had this subtle and deep insight into the nature of surrender, that within the I, within the self, the I who am surrendering, there is a place of rebellion. There is a place of refusal to surrender. And so the mystery of it all, the mystery of this act of surrender, is that the I can surrender everything to the Lord, with the exception of the I who's doing the surrendering. And it's like, wait a minute. Well, can't I just say, I surrender myself to you, Lord? And what Father Noonan would say back is, well, yeah, you can say that. And you can even be more insightful to say, I surrender myself to you, even that self that refuses to surrender. Lord, I surrender myself to you, even that part of me that is a rebel and that is holding a wall of resistance against refusing. And in doing that, what are we doing? We're bringing into the Lord's presence that part of our lives that we where we are holding ourselves hostage against God. And so what Father Noonan would say is, he'd say, Tom, pray that, Lord, I surrender. And I, Lord, ask you to bring about the surrender of the I who refuses to surrender. Okay, did you hear that? You start praying that and your life will change. The mystery of it all is that, like, I don't read this in just typical books on prayer or the spiritual life. This is embedded deep in the scriptures and in our tradition, but if you haven't been taught it, it's hard to tease it all out that simply. But in the experience of prayer, the experience of contemplative prayer, deep prayer, the truth of this principle of our spiritual life plays itself out. And this is how Father Noonan taught it to me. And this is like, just look, take the theme of trust versus the refusal to trust. You see, there are dimensions of our lives where we refuse to trust and we're not even aware of how they're operating within us. But we don't have that cognizance, that awareness of it. And so one of the things that Father Noonan would say is this, is he'd say, go and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Go pray in the presence of the Lord and just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender myself to you, even that part of me that won't surrender, that part of me that resists you. And I say, Lord, please bring about my surrender. I want to be surrendered. I want to be surrendered to you, but I don't know how to do it and I can't bring it about. Lord, please bring about my surrender. And just be still, be silent, and allow the Lord, the divine physician, to perform his spiritual surgery in the core of your being, in the depth of your heart. And in contemplative prayer, there isn't a lot of, it's not about thinking. It's not about using your mind at all, your imagination. It's not about using your body. It's about being still. It's about stilling your body. It's about just having a sense of a regular breath. And it's just about being present, being still, being present. And the Lord graciously begins to draw us into the awareness that I'm in his presence and I'm just being with him who is with me. And the mystery of it all is that being in that prayer for 15 minutes, a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour of just still, silent, contemplative prayer, we come out of that prayer, and what we'll discover is that we trust the Lord more on the other side of that prayer than we did when we entered that prayer. Some of that refusal has diminished, and there has been an increase in a sense of trusting, freedom, and peace. And one of the things we know is that I didn't do that. I didn't cause that. I didn't figure that out. It was the Lord who brought it about. Our tradition calls that passive contemplation. All right, I'm up against a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this surrender.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and this is part four of my program, sharing about the first of these four spiritual mentors, this spiritual father to me, Father Mark Noonan, and in the mystery of God's timing. I started these reflections last week, and over the weekend on Sunday, I got a text message that Father Noonan had died. And he was, you know, he was in his 93 years old. He was at the priest retirement home in the Archdiocese of Boston called Regina Clary. So please pray for the repose of his soul. And I feel that it's very poignant that the Lord would have me be talking about him in such a full way right now. The timing in a certain way for me is a way of honoring him. And the mystery of not even knowing that this would be God's timing of bringing him home to be with him. And I'm certainly praying to the Lord for the full, final, complete repose of his soul in the hands of God, and that he would be quickly freed from any purification and purgatory. And the other thing that brings me a little bit of a smile on my face is that he wasn't aware that I was doing these talks in Boston. But he's aware now. Father Noonan, you're aware now that I'm sharing about you, that I'm handing on to others what you yourself handed on to me. And what's fascinating is this, is that I had felt this sense of stewardship to hand on the wisdom that he had handed on to me. And I told him about this, and it's probably about 15 years ago that I recorded, I don't know, it's probably 5 or 6 hours of phone conversations with him on the themes of silence, solitude, and simplicity. And I was going to call this book. I had these calls transcribed, and his insights into silence, solitude, and simplicity are incredible. And I was going to call the book Mark My Words. And, you know, that was sort of a clever Father Mark Noonanism. And what he had said to me was, Thomas, this book isn't his words. These aren't my words. This is your reception of what I've shared with you. you are bringing out into the open what it is I have shared with you. And it's just like, it's just so profound. That whole idea, again, of tradition, that it's about what you receive and then how that comes to be alive in you. It has an imprint of you in what it is that you're handing on. And so he himself would be really the first one to say that he was just handing on to me what he himself had received. So he was really an extraordinary man. He told me a couple of stories about his life that are pretty striking. One of them was that when he finished college seminary, he had to take the GRE to go to graduate school. And so when he did that, he showed up to take the test, and he realized that when he signed up to take the test, he had paid for two tests. So one was the general test that he was going to take. And they said, well, what other one do you want to take? And he said, well, I'll take the math one. And so he didn't prepare for it. This was, again, it's sort of an advanced math graduate school level entry for math examination. And so, obviously not easy is you get the key, you get the clue here. This is not easy. So he did his first test, the one that he was principally there for. And then it came time, he said, well, okay, I'll take the math test now. And so he went in the room with the other students and he sat down and started to go through the test. And it had, I don't know, something like 20 questions. And he said he went through the questions like in a matter of like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He was all done. And he's thinking, okay, well, what should I do now? I'm all done. And he's looking around and everyone else is, still pencils are down on the paper and still, frantically trying to get through the questions. And he's like, well, what should I do? He said, well, I don't know. Let me go back and check my answers, I guess. And so he ended up going back and he got to one question and he believed he had the right answer. But when he took pencil to paper and tried to work it out, he came up with a different answer. And so he erased it and put down a different answer. And he ended up just saying, well, I'm all done. I'm just going to go turn it in. So he turned it in really early. The teacher was, the proctor was shocked that he had turned it in so quickly. Well, come to find out, and you'll probably not be surprised. You can probably figure out what I'm going to say. He had gotten them all right, and he ended up only getting one question wrong. And the one question he got wrong was the one that he had tried to figure out the answer and changed it from the right answer to the wrong answer. And the part that was so striking was that he shared that when the way that he solved the math problems was that he would read the problem and then he could see the mathematical numbers in his head. He could see it in a way that kind of almost three-dimensionally, he could see it. And then he just knew the answer. He didn't have to calculate it out. He didn't have to calculate, okay, how do I get from point A to point to point Z by working through the different formulas and the proofs and the have it all memorized and know how to figure out what's the key to getting this one right. No, he saw the answer and he knew what the answer was. He was an intuitive mathematician. Man, that would have been handy. But that was the kind of gifting that he had. I have a few other stories, but I'm going off track, which I apologize for doing. But it gives you a sense of the way that God can gift certain people. And he, as I've shared with you, it was such a gift to me. Okay, so let's come back around to this theme of surrendering and being surrendered. So brothers and sisters, just hear it one last time, and then I'm going to move on to receptivity because it is so very important that making an act of surrender is fundamental in your spiritual life. A daily habit of surrendering your life to the Lord. Father, I surrender myself to you. into your hands. I completely abandon myself, right? You can use, you know, St. Charles de Foucauld's form. Father, I abandon myself into your hands, right? You can use St. Ignatius of Loyola's, right? Take, Lord, receive all my memory, all my liberty, my entire self, right? There are different forms of surrender. Father, Dolindo Ruotolos, right? Jesus, I give myself to you. Take care of everything. I surrender myself to you. You take over, right? All of those acts of surrender, so crucial. But alongside it, don't miss out on the Father Noonan insight of saying, Lord, and in those areas where I refuse to surrender, where I am a rebel, and I have no capacity to even be aware of my unwillingness to surrender myself to you, please, Lord, bring about my surrender. Bring about my surrender. Lord, I want to be surrendered to you. And that's where I've also then translated that for you all, if you listened to my program for years. Conquer me, Lord, and conquer in me all that resists you. Jesus, come as the divine conqueror in my heart, because I do have that spirit within me, that heart, that place in my heart that is rebellious. And so, and then go before the Lord. And if you can, in quiet contemplative prayer, just let his love wash over you, wash over you, and wash over you. And it'll begin to wash away the resistance, wash away the harshness, wash away the difficulty, wash away the refusal to surrender, wash away the rebellion, and it'll be replaced with trust. Trust will be sown. Trust, the seeds of trust will begin to be nurtured. The rocks will be removed, and you'll begin to trust the Lord more fully with your life. And then life is preparation for death, where I fully and freely am giving myself to you every day. And I look forward to that moment, Lord, where I can finalize and make a consummate that act of entrusting myself to you and that act of dying. Life is preparation for death. All right. Another area that Father Noonan changed my life, just changed my life, is around the reality of receptivity. And receptivity is this theme that is, it's present at a fundamental level, at a foundational level in our spiritual tradition, right? And it's sometimes it's referred to as docility. In the Middle Ages, it was one of the meanings of the term meekness. Meekness is not being like milquetoast and soft. Meekness means that I am willing to be led. I am willing to be led. And so receptivity is this openness. It's this openness and readiness to receive. And Father Noonan talked about a maturing of receptivity in the life of an individual, that you can see the growth and the ages and stages of maturity through the lens of receptivity. This is something that, again, I never heard before, never heard this mapped out in the way that Father Noonan mapped it out. And so I'm going to share it with you now. And so the first level of receptivity is a infantile level of receptivity. And it takes the form of the statement, receive me. So it's a neediness. It's the, I need you to notice me and pay attention to me and accept me, and please, I want to belong to you. I want to be accepted by you. Receive me. So there's that first level. That first level of receptivity is the infantile level that has an authentic form of, yeah, I do authentically need you. I'm completely dependent and reliant upon you. But it also has the broken form of those who are no longer infants of neediness. So we are called to move move beyond that. We are not called to stay at the level of that kind of neediness. All right. And so the question becomes then, what's the next level? Okay. The next level is making the act, saying the act, I receive. So the next level level of receptivity is the capacity to simply receive. Now, that might seem rather sort of bland or generic, but I want you to ponder this a little bit. If you're able to say, I receive, then that will show up in certain settings. For instance, do you know people who have a really difficult time letting other people serve them? That they are wonderful servants, quick to serve, ready to show hospitality, love to take care of others, or to step forward and say, you know, I got that. Hey, it's okay. You know, you're in a hard spot right now. You're having a hard time, or you need some help right now. I'm in. I got this. Let's go. Happy to help. But when it gets flipped around and there's all of a sudden a situation where, oh, you need some help. Let me step in and help you. Whoa, no. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at letting you serve me. I'm happy to serve you. I'm happy to give to you, but you get right. You see what I'm saying? You know that there are people like that. You might be one of those people. There's another level of this that, even if that's not the like typical personality type of the person who's quick to serve but has a hard time being served, how about this? How about being affirmed when someone says, hey, you know, you did a great job. Actually, I'm doing such a job that I need to take a break, right? When I come back, I'll talk about that next level of receptivity. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. And today I'm honoring Father Mark Noonan. And now I can say I'm honoring his life and the legacy that he is leaving in this world, in part has been inscribed in my life. And so I feel the gratitude that I have for the Lord that he blessed me with a connection with him, where he was, a mentor, a teacher, a friend, a spiritual director for me in my life. And I will be praying for his soul, for the repose of his soul. He just died on Sunday, and I hope that you'll pray for him as well. And I hope that you're being blessed by these insights that he shared with me. I'm sharing them with you. I want you to be blessed by them as well. I want these to take root in your life. So this levels of receptivity is just this other brilliant map out of a human development. The first level is that childlike stage of receive me. And there's the authentic and broken way that that can show up. But then the second level is I receive. And I was just mentioning before the break that, you know, it's not only for those people who are like good at serving, but have a hard time receiving the service of others. What about the idea of receiving a compliment? How many times do we, you know, oh, maybe we're pretty good at giving compliments, but when someone says, hey, you did a great job. No, I didn't. Oh, stop that. Don't say that. And we have a hard time with that. We have a difficult time in action, receiving an expression of affirmation, or maybe an expression of gratitude. Thank you so much for what you did. Oh, it's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't say a thing. And there is a way that, you know, we don't want to maybe draw undue attention to ourselves. That's true, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the honest and forthright capability to be able to receive a compliment or an act of gratitude from someone for whom you have been a blessing, and they want to thank you or they want to affirm you, and just to be able to say, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say that. That's a level of maturity. So says Father Noonan, but there's more. There's a deeper level to that. And the deeper level is not simply having the act of I receive that word of compliment, I receive that act of service, but it becomes a capacity. It becomes a quality in my life that is not only contained in one moment or in one action, but it's a capacity that I have. And so I'm receptive. I'm receptive to the world around me. I'm receptive to the people that are coming towards me. And so Father Noonan would call this, I am receptive to receive. I'm receptive to receive. And this is a more mature type of receptivity or docility, this willingness to be led. Are we willing to be led into relationships with others who are not easy, who are not all put together? Who are we willing to be led into situations and circumstances that are just not that comfortable, but it's where we're needed right now? Am I receptive to receive this person into my life? And when I would talk about this years ago, when I was working for a church, I'd say, at Coffee and Donuts, you see that person and you're thinking, oh, here I go. I got my little tray and I've got my donut and my coffee and I'm going to go sit at this table and let me avoid that table over there because that person is over there. And that person just talks and talks and talks. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into me right now, but now I want to go and just enjoy my donut and talk to people that I enjoy. And so we avoid that person. I am not receptive to receive that person into my life. So there can be a limit there, right? I'm receptive to receive, but boy, I can put up some walls and it's like, okay, I'm not as good at that as I need to be. So what are we receptive to receive from the Lord in our lives? What are we receptive to receive? Good things, bad things, that we perceive as bad, only health, only riches. What about trials and difficulties, right? It's amazing. So Father Noonan would again propose going deeper in our own human living. We have to mature in our receptivity so that we're receptive to receive. But there's the last level. And the last level of receptivity is the receptivity to be received. To be received. Am I willing to be received into this other person's life? Am I willing to be received into this trial and difficulty? I pray that Holy Spirit prayer from Cardinal Mercer, which is, come, O Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you ask of me. And listen now, I accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. I accept all that you permit to happen to me. So I'm ready to be received into whatever situation you have for me. And that's a challenge. That level of receptivity. I'm receptive to being received. He considers that the most mature level of receptivity, because I want you to think about it. What is the act of dying? It's the act of going home to God. It's the act of departing from this earth. It's the act of being received. Oh, wait a minute. It's the act of being received into the presence of the Lord, into the hands of Almighty God. Am I receptive to being received into the hands of Almighty God? That's a powerful question. And you can see how life is preparation for death is a very mature form of receptivity. What I just laid out for you there, and I didn't do it as well as I could have. I did it in a very short time frame. It is a teaching that has so deeply impacted how I've lived my life. It's hard to explain it. My willingness to enter the seminary and then leave the seminary and then and then live in this men's household and work in the church and then go work at Evangelization 2000 and then feel that call to be married and then to move out to Seattle and then to move to Spokane and the stages of my life. And now I'm 60 years old. Am I receptive to being received into what the Lord has for me? And we can, it's like I've learned, and this is something that you're going to hear from my next spiritual mentor, Father Mark Montminy, is saying yes to the Lord in advance. Am I willing to say yes to the Lord in advance of even knowing what he's going to ask of me? That's spiritual maturity. And that's something that I've strived for. I've never done it perfectly. I can see some real instances where I have not done that. And it's like, I still have a chance now. I still have a chance now. And so to live that, being open to say yes in advance to whatever the Lord has for me and be willing to be received into this next stage, this next age, this next place in my life. And to be received into whatever the Lord has for me, that God's providential care for our lives. So I want you to pray for that, brothers and sisters. Pray for that deepened sense of receptivity. All right. And the last, I've got about just another 10 or 11 minutes here to talk about Father Noonan. I want to share with you how he also shaped my life through the theologians that he introduced to me. St. Bonaventure, again, this doctor of the church, the seventh minister general of the Franciscans, taught at the University of Paris. So St. Bonaventure, I had a whole course on St. Bonaventure that he taught me. And I want to mention what I've learned from him. Then St. John Paul II, I've already shared with you several times that he taught a course on the human person. And John Paul II was one of the principal authors he covered in his book, The Acting Person. And then the third was a Jewish rabbi, Abraham Heschel, and his book, Who is Man? And then other books that I ended up reading because I read Who is Man? I never, in all likelihood, would have encountered Abraham Heschel had it not been for Father Mark Noonan. And what that book has done for my life is just stunning. And so I feel this is a very poignant moment that Father Mark Noonan, who I'm honoring today in this fourth program, died on Sunday. He passed away right in the midst of my honoring him, and he didn't realize it. Well, he knows it now. I'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. So in this final section, I want to share with you some insights that I gained from St. Bonaventure, St. John Paul II, and Abraham Heschel because of Father Mark Noonan. First, St. Bonaventure. So St. Bonaventure, you might know, 13th century, great theologian, again, a contemporary of St. Thomas Aquinas. One of the things that's a hallmark of St. Bonaventure is that he very powerfully unites the affective in the more strictly rational aspects of the spiritual life and of theological pursuit. And so he is really the culminating, I'd call it the culmination of the theological tradition that goes back to St. Augustine. And so the place of desire as this fundamental drive in the human being, this idea that the desire that we discover within us that moves us forward through life is actually the magnetic pull of God's love that is pulling us, that is drawing us to himself. And so Father Noonan taught us in his book, in his course on Bonaventure, he walked us through the soul's journey into God, the most famous of Bonaventure's books, as well as the life of Francis and the Tree of Life, where he explored this theme of receptivity and through the virtue of meekness. But in the soul's journey into God, this is where I learned so much about the theme of holy desperation or the theology of groaning. I mentioned that as an insight earlier on. It's at the very beginning of that book. And it also appears in the life of Saint Francis. as well, and the concept of discipleship as union with Christ. And if you're going to advance in the spiritual life, it's like imitate Francis as he imitated Christ. And that imitation of Christ took the form of the stigmata. That's how deeply the impression of Christ into the life of Francis was, that he expressed the internal union with Christ crucified on his very body. So again, it was very much an embodied type of spirituality. And if you read the life of St. Francis or the soul's journey into God, you have these incredible expressions that are bringing together what Bonaventure calls monastic truth versus scholastic truth. So scholastic truth is more rational and rightly ordered. It's very logical. The monastic truth is, and so there's truth that's discovered, right, through logical comprehension and the systematic and ordering and correct ordering and weighing of theological concepts. We come to know the truth about God. But there's also, that's the veritas scholastica. But the veritas monastica is that the one who knows the truth is the one who is living the truth, embodying the truth by their very way of life. The monk, the monastic truth, is the truth that comes to birth through how we live. And so that was something that through Bonaventure and Father Mark Noonan came to my life. It also helped me to understand the concept of fundamental questions, that there are truths that we'll come to and get insight on, not simply by reading the textbooks and reading the authoritative authors who have insight into these matters, but rather by living the questions. By living the questions, there's a dimension of questions that go beyond our rational capacity to simply come to know the answer, but we've got to live the questions with wonder and care, and we'll come in to know the answer. But so these are some of the things that I learned from Father Noonan through St. Bonaventure. Again, so much more I could say. I've already covered some of these themes. You can maybe hear resonance of those themes in earlier programs. John Paul II, I mean, how much can I say that John Paul II's gift message has been, if you will, the message I feel most called to bring to the world, which is each person is a gift, and we're made not only as a gift, but we're made to be a gift to others. And it's through that communion of persons that we'll come to know true joy and human flourishing and the goodness of being the image of God most fully, because we're imaging the Trinitarian God who has a relational identity. That in the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Father is only Father because of the Son. It's a relational identity. The Son is only Son because of the Father. It's a relational identity. That somehow I know who I am in and of myself, but I know who I am much more fully and perfectly when I'm in a life-giving relationship with another human being. And so, you talk about it takes two eyes to make a we in marriage, that somehow Carrie unveiled to me more fully who I am than I would have known on my own because of our loving commitment to each other. And so all of those themes of communion of persons, of reciprocity, of affirmation, of confirmation, of mutual self-giving and receiving of each other. All of this comes because of Father Mark Noonan introducing me to St. John Paul II's acting person in that theme of the person as gift. Changed my life. And it changed. It's how I talk about marriage. It's how I talk about life. It's how I've raised my family. It's how I look at Carrie. It's how I've tried to live as a husband and a father. It's because of John Paul II's gift message, which I got from Father Noonan. Really, it's like, who am I to have received such a gift? I just want to hand it on to you, brothers and sisters. And then Abraham Heschel, his book, Who is Man? I've read that book I don't know how many times, but it's almost more poetry than it is philosophy. In the book, Who is Man? He beautifully unfolds so many of the themes that were impactful to me from Father Noonan. I can see how much Abraham Heschel impacted his life with this idea of you can come to know things through appreciation and not just through analysis. that you can investigate through wonder and awe and not simply through curiosity and logical attempts to penetrate to the core of something. And so just understanding those themes, understanding the meaning of the Sabbath, understanding the meaning of awe and wonder, those themes have come to me because of Father Noonan. And it's fascinating. I want to end with this story that Father Noonan, when I was visiting him for one of his, one of my spiritual direction sessions, he was moving out of his room because he was moving out of the seminary. He had retired and he had his whole library of books and all of his notes from all of his classes. And I said, what are you going to do with them? He says, well, I'm going to just donate all the books to the library and I'm going to just throw away all my notes. And I'm like, what? No, you can't. He had some, one of his themes was learn to live well with your limits. And one of his limits was that he had a neurological processing challenges. And so he couldn't write books. And yet the depth of his insights were in his class notes. So one of my really most precious treasures were the class notes from his classes. And one of the great sadnesses of my life is that I had a big box of journals and class notes from his classes. And somehow in all of my moves, that box got thrown away. And as much as I miss the journals of 20 years of my life, truth before God, I feel much sadder about losing Father Noonan's notes, the notes that I had written on and pondered over and just soaked in the immensity of insight that he had into my life. It's like that's a loss. That was a real loss for me. And I don't even know how it happened. I know in all the moves I had, sometimes people helping me like throw away books that in boxes of books that I didn't need, or I was giving them away. But somehow this one box that I always made sure that I kept somehow got away from me. So what a sadness. But there's, for Father Mark, it was a surrender. There's just a surrendering over into the hands of the Lord that he had done his part. He had run his race. He had lived well with the gifts and the limits that he had, and now he was truly surrendered. And so that idea of what's my legacy, what's my lasting contribution, all of that, all of his teaching, all of his lectures and his notes, all of that just was just dust for him. And in so many ways, what's just the truth is that there are thousands of Tom Currans out there who are right now finding out that Father Noonan has died, and they're saying to people around them, I want to tell you stories about this holy priest of God, this teacher, this professor, this spiritual formation, this spiritual director, this homilist, this man of God, how he changed my life and what he poured into me, I want to share with you. That's a legacy that I feel called to hand on, and I hope I've done it worthily. Pray for the repose of the soul of Father Mark Noonan. God bless.